Mitch, your big tool. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. You look like a man who enjoys DIY.
Do I?
Yeah.
You look like the exact man.
Right, okay. Yeah.
You look like a man that owns a chisel.
Go on, where's this going?
I just think you should go to Wason's Panath for all your industrial goods.
Yeah?
That's about it, really.
All right, I will. Sorted.
Go there.
All right. This is number
72.
As ever, big shout out to the FIFA Ramble on their podcast. They do a podcast every Wednesday night. I'm hopeful of getting involved with these guys, even if it's on tour. They were going to come to the Juice Bar, I think, Saturday. But again, it wasn't suitable for either of us, I think.
It turned out one blancmange, it was Mange 2. We're joined with Chich today. He's our special guest today.
What's happening?
Hi, we're just going to talk some football, I think. What's the first one? Yeah. What do you want to talk about first?
Man City-Chelsea coming up this weekend.
Yeah?
Big old fixture, that.
All right.
Big old fixture.
Anyone back Higuain to just lash him in or what?
I think he might take him a bit of time. I still think he needs another two or three games.
The first one was key, though. First goal.
Yeah.
The man will give us...
Yeah.
But I think he's still taking him to...
Look, I watch a lot of Serie A, and I like Higuain. We've talked about this before. I just genuinely don't think... No, when certain players join the league, Aubameyang joined the league, and I thought...
Is it like you see in his eyes, like, you're not built for this, lad?
I'm not sure. Like, the problem that I have with Higuain in the Premier League is the same problem I have with Higuain in Serie A. He don't look after himself. His fitness is not as good as other people's fitness
levels. I
think
he's just fattest, to be honest with you. Yeah, he's a striker, he strikes. Mm. What more do you want from him?
I think Chelsea knew what they were getting.
Yeah, exactly. But I just think he's going to take a while for us to get into it.
And they've got the backup of the fact it's a loan deal.
Isn't it a loan?
They can pull out of it if they want to, even though they spent it's going to be about 15 million, isn't it?
And look, how hard is it to get
a top class for a season, possibly.
They also, though, had to pay money to AC Milan and Juventus to get it done, because they had to buy him out of his loan deal with AC, and then they had to buy him... Back out on loan.
That right there is the cost of a world-class striker. Because obviously you're just taking risk. It is a calculated risk. I don't see the problem with it whatsoever.
What are the world-class... It's almost the same as the Ramsey deal. Because him going to Juve. Yeah. In that everyone talks about how much that Ramsey deal actually cost. And they... I'm sure it was Ted Knutson said... What you've got to take into... He's brilliant. And what you have to take into account is that they're not paying a transfer fee. All they are paying for is the agent fees and his wages. His wages, the whole deal, is going to cost them 37 million. Now, could you buy a player of Aaron Ramsey's quality
on a 4 or 5 year contract as well, isn't it?
No,
and pay his wages, and also pay his agent fees, and a transfer fee? Could you get all of that for a player of that quality for less than 40 million? I don't think you could.
No, you couldn't. Yeah.
Could you get a world class striker like Higuain on an 18 month deal? For around 20 million. No, you couldn't. Mm. You couldn't buy a player for that.
And I think at one stage a few years ago, I think he was the best Premier League. I think he was at the season where he was probably the
top
best.
Of the game.
Yeah, top of the game. And probably the best midfielder in the league, Premier League. But, and then he got injured again. And then he dropped again from there. Started getting back in the team.
That's sort of what you get, though. It's like, it'll be a better pace for him for that league.
Yeah, time to pick a pass.
But guys, I think the only thing that's going to stop Man City is a bit of a clogged fixture, really, against Chelsea. I think they'll wipe him aside.
Do you think City are that confident in City?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like, look, Man City are just pulverising their way through, and like, they're big game players, all of them. Like, if you've got a fit Aguero, he's going to cause damage against anyone. We saw it against Arsenal, Jesus.
We said last week about Man City, in that people have almost written them off, weirdly, because they were the greatest team in the world last season. And now they've written them off, and it's Liverpool are having a great year. Well, Man City have kept very, very close to Liverpool since dropping behind them.
Yeah.
They've had key injuries. De Bruyne going out again. Aguero was out for his usual couple of weeks that he has every season where he just is injured. And they've managed to stick with Liverpool.
At quite a high, fast pace.
While Liverpool have been on this ridiculous run, they only conceded, 7 goals in the first? It felt like 100 fixtures in this season. You know, it was... And then they conceded nearly half that amount against Palace.
I think it's Liverpool for us looking at it.
It's made us really interested.
Like we spoke about this like a couple of weeks ago. Actually, like it's really heated up at the top.
Yeah.
And like it just needs a few things, which actually happened last week. Like the fixtures are a bit all over the place. Yeah. And look what we got now. Like potentially we've got a 3-horse race.
People are starting to talk about the psychological battle that goes into the championship, but they were written off only two games ago.
Like, because as soon as Harry Kane got injured, they were like, well, that's it now. It's a 2-horse race, game, set, and match, right? Which we're just going to do off to each other.
My problem with Spurs is the same thing that I've had the problem with Spurs since the beginning of last season. You know, they need to invest in players. They need to. But it's true, though. They still do. I know I've said it countless times. They need to invest. They have to invest. Their squad is too thin to compete on all those fronts, especially after so many of that squad had pretty much a full World Cup. Yeah, but
when you say that, you devalue the work that Pochettino's done with that squad then.
He's done an amazing job.
But he did build a squad, but I think there was a lot of players that didn't fill that promises. Like, you know, look at Janssen and stuff like this. You know, they spent money on him, and I think that, you know, he was at one stage, you know, he could have been the player like that you could rotate a little bit. Or
he was
having
quality
that, like,
in the
Eredivisie.
He was a great player.
He was just banging him in, but...
But he refuses to use
him. Not even put him on a bench now. Not even to give him a sniff of a way to get in, you know? So.
Yeah, it's. Look, I think it is a genuine 3-horse race. I'm surprised. Do you think City will win? I think
City by a couple of goals as well.
The interesting thing is, Spurs can actually have focus on that league now, whereas like Liverpool and Man City will just be in a fire. So I think they'll come through, especially with De Bruyne coming through.
But Chelsea are going to look to get big results against bigger teams to prove something. And he's got to do that against big teams now because this is his building.
Who knows what we're going to get from Chelsea? They've been up and down. I've enjoyed watching them, but Jesus, like with a striker, I don't know. There's no excuse for Hazard to drop in his position and then move forward. Like we've seen how damaging they were to like Huddersfield a couple of weeks, like whenever.
I still think the Batshuayi they should have kept him as well. Like, and
I got him in my dream team straight away. I think he can go on again.
I think he's got all the attributes, even like better than what Lukaku had a few years ago.
Do you know what's interesting about Chelsea? And we said this as well, haven't we? At one point, there was when they had Morata, they had Giroud, they had Batshuayi, and they had Tammy Abraham. Now, every one of those four strikers offers you something different. Every one of them.
Options.
In between those four, you've got people who are good with their back to goal. You've got good with people running on through balls. You've got good people with your left foot, right foot, good in the air. Good striker in those four. And they loaned out Abraham. They've loaned out
Abraham's
Morata,
proved himself.
And he could have good as well got rid of Batshuayi and they're not playing Giroud.
Yeah. And they've lost those options up there. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what's been made about whether this with Higuain coming in, that'll help Hazard rather than playing through the middle as a striker.
Mitch, summarise this, please.
Summarise this. City to roll on.
So, I got a story about cheesecake where we used to be sponsored, the football team I play for, by a local pub. And we went to the pub and we usually order food afterwards, or we have some deal with them as their sponsor. And I ordered a cheesecake for dessert and sat down, waited for the cheesecake, and then this thing came out, which definitely wasn't a cheesecake. It basically looked like a round sort of sorbet with a crust. And as she put it down, she said, oh, she did tell you it's not a cheesecake, isn't it? As she put it down, I thought, well, first of all, no, she didn't. And secondly, it's called cheesecake on your menu. And basically, it was some weird, like, cheesecake bomb thing that they call them, where it's not really a cheesecake. It doesn't even look like it. I don't even know why it shares a name. And she said, oh, okay, fine. And then she comes back, like, 2 minutes later, and I'm like, well, I definitely wasn't explained that it wasn't a cheesecake. She comes back, she says, oh, I just spoke to my colleague, and she said she definitely did tell you that it wasn't a cheesecake. I was like, hang on a second, I want a blimmin' cheesecake here. And she's come in and explained to me that her colleague, she's arguing against me that she told me that it was a cheesecake. So I sat there and half the team were there, like, laughing their head off, and I can't order a cheesecake on a menu ever again. So that's basically my cheesecake story.
Yeah. So basically, I had to stop the car, reverse.
Yeah.
And then I got out of the car and I had to finish off with a car jack. Bournemouth. Oh no, can we talk about Everton? Sorry.
Let's start with Everton. Let's go with Everton. Yeah. Come on.
Everton. Okay, right. If you were an Everton fan, why would you be annoyed at what Silva's done? Young manager representing, bringing in people.
Yeah.
Can I give you an answer?
Go on, Luke.
I just don't see it's the same as the Leicester thing. Like, I don't get it.
I think the reason that Everton fans are a little bit annoyed with Marco Silva at the minute is because the amount of hubbub around him signing and the whole Sam Allardyce thing, he's going to leave. They want Marco Silva. We all know they want Marco Silva to come in. Watford sack him because his head's turned. They had Sam Allardyce in and he was touted as an amazing young foreign coach, and he's up and coming, he's like Pochettino, and he's coming, and actually Everton have performed where they should. They've performed where I would. They're top heavy, they've got too many wingers. I think the press,
they would be down, don't forget, before Sam Aladici, they were like down on the bottom. They almost like starved off relegation last season. And now the expectancy is, oh, we should be top five. Yeah, but it's going to take time to get there.
But that's exactly what I'm saying.
I think there's a lot of teams that are going to be in the same boat at the moment. I think you can say Everton, you can say Watford, you can still say even Leicester. They're still going to struggle to go that extra mile.
Yeah, because it's the same thing they've always struggled with.
And to get it right, you've got to... Is this stadium big enough?
Yeah.
Are they putting enough money into their squads and that type of thing to take them on to that? The only team to have done it, and I know they've only probably done it maybe 3 or 4 years ago, is Tottenham have put those processes in place to be there. And where do you go from that? Like with these type of teams like Watford and with Everton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How you know, where's your realistic goal? If you're top 10, you should be happy as with that.
Yeah.
You don't, as long as you're playing the right brand of football, which your football club has always played around.
We're comfortable.
And have that identity about you.
Because one season, it could be your season.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Going back with the Sam Allardyce thing, I think, you know, that he was branded playing one type of football, which is totally wrong for that football club.
Well, you can go back even further and say, I genuinely think the problem at the minute is just because Marco Silva was hyped up to be this young Mourinho, that when they actually perform much better than they did last season, they're performing much better, and he's got them to where they should aim to be now. It's a transition period.
Yeah.
You sell some players that you shouldn't have ever bought in. I know he's played well, but forever signing Gylfi Sigurdsson for 60 million was the dumbest transfer of last season. He's a great player, but for £60 million, they got robbed. They got robbed. He's 30 years old.
But look at him.
Do you know what? I debate. You look at Ericsson, right? I don't think there's a massive difference. I think a few years ago, there's not one a massive difference between... Like, when they sold Sigurdsson to Everton... And then with the whole like Swansea thing, I don't think there was that much of a difference between those two players at all.
The problem that I have with the deal over the Ericsson one is the age. So, Gylfi Sigurdsson is a lot of money, but look, he for the same player you could buy three Blaise Matuidis transfer value wise.
The Blaise Matuidi level.
That's like, the one. Yeah, right, we judged it. We did a whole season on transfers. How many Blaise Matuidis could you buy for that value? You could buy three Blaise Matuidis and have change. For one Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Do you know what? He's not three times the player of Blaise Matuidi. What you're getting with Sigurdsson is a solid performer consistently.
With no resale value. Whose XG has dropped
What are you
going to
get? Three, 4 seasons out of him, break that down. He's at the centre of everything. He's built strong. Mm-hmm. He takes everything. He's a low risk. That's a low risk thing. But it just so happens at that time, guess what? That's what
he's a low risk signing. Yeah. The cost of fortune.
But I think the transfer market at that stage, though, was extreme. It was going as well. Crazy. It hit that bubble again. It was that kickoff part.
However, Arsenal have shown this season that it is possible to buy brilliant young players who can come into the league for a limited amount of funds, make a huge difference, and grow. Guendouzi has been, and Torreira have been amazing.
Well, no, we can talk about Arsenal.
They've got steals on it. If
you look at the result on the weekend, and I think Everton fans would look at a side like Wolves, who we said at the start of the season had done amazing business.
Let's get into Wolves,
and they are in a place now where Everton thought they were going to be, playing attractive football in seventh, just outside the big six, if you will. Mm. And they're there in that position, and Everton fans are looking at it. I mean, I'm not saying that it wasn't the right move to bring in Silva over Allardyce, but what, I think they finished, what, eighth under Allardyce last season. So, I mean, there is, if you play devil's advocate, you can say they're in a transition period. But
yeah, they are.
They're not in a, still in a position where they think, even in transition, maybe we should be doing better than we are. And that's where there's
I think Marcus Silva is a great coach. I think he's massively underrated and undervalued. Exactly.
I know.
He's in his first season at the club. He also has had to deal with it. With a squad with a lot of players who he quite obviously doesn't want.
Yeah. But he's had to set a new, like, totally new identity.
Yeah.
The problem is, and that's hard for people to grasp.
Right.
Like.
Also, exactly. This is the problem that you have with
and that's the
football owners and the football expectations. Think about it, yeah, as just in your day-to-day running. You go from having Ronald Koeman, who wants to play like Ajax. Mm. Yeah. That's where he wants to play. Then you bring in Sam Allardyce. And he goes, forget all the passing and trying to play with your head up and look for angles. Forget all of that. What I want you to do is see that guy down there, hit it to him.
Just play more direct.
Just hit it to him.
More direct football.
Yeah. Now, I'm not here to say one.
Hit Les.
Yeah, hit Les.
And then they go back again.
And then they go back to Marco Silva, who wants to play this tiki-taka style football. Imagine being a footballer at Everton and go, I don't know whether I'm coming or going here. That's going to take a while to settle in. Exactly the same as why I will forever say sacking De Boer at Palace was dumb because he
10 games on
ridiculous.
Less than five, I think.
We wouldn't see Roy.
You wouldn't see Roy. So
shout out,
Roy Hodgson. But imagine being a Crystal Palace player at that time and just being like, hang on a minute, what do you mean? You go from De Boer to Hodgson.
I've just finished Lillie's playbook.
Totally different. Changes.
So it was a Pulis side. But
then that's the problem. And Silva's also a coach who's learning as well. He's playing straight. He's learning to back him. I want him to succeed.
The more he succeeds, the more of an idiot he makes Paul Merson look.
I think we should stick.
Stick.
Right.
Do you want to win on the weekend?
No one's mentioned Wolves yet. We just have.
I want to talk. I think Wolves have been top quality this season.
Wolves have been good. They beat Everton. It was really good.
Let's do it. Wolves are good.
I can see that last season in them.
We talked about Wolves.
And I fancied them for the top 10 at the start of the season.
I really enjoy seeing them play. I think all of us on our preview show predicted Wolves were finishing the top 10.
Yeah.
I think all three of
us. But I think they're causing the disruption.
The only problem is there's always going to be an asterisk. But they people's heads because of the George Mendes thing.
But they could also be like very similar to like Watford or what Watford have done. They could be that type, you know, for example, like Everton for me. But they need to be careful on that like next season, I think. That's going to be key for them.
Watford. Most confusing team in the league?
No, Bournemouth are.
Bournemouth? I agree.
Most inconsistent.
Bournemouth
all
next.
Over.
Yeah.
Sum this up, Luke.
Now, quick!
Marco Silva.
Marco Silva. My actual fingernail was caught in the toboggan, in the chain. Bournemouth, if not everyone's most confusing side to watch.
They're up there.
How can you go from extremes of just smashing Chelsea to being on the receiving end of a Cardiff City performance?
Take out that it's Cardiff City. It's not a judgment on Cardiff City and them at all. However, if you're Bournemouth, I heard Eddie Howe said,
"You wax lyrical about him 1 week, and then you're like, oh."
Yeah. Well, Eddie Howe himself.
You've seen you
on the streets. Eddie Howe said that you can't, if you beat Chelsea 4-0 1 week and then lose to Cardiff City, the Chelsea game was irrelevant.
I think
that's
he's right.
what he said, and that's true. Because if you're Bournemouth, yes, it's brilliant that you beat Chelsea 4-0, but then if you lose to a side who are in the relegation zone, that result was a fluke. If you beat Cardiff, that's a run.
Well, it's just cancel each other's result.
It's ridiculous.
But you can't really have that rule of thumb, can you? Like, as you go on to, you look at teams look at a certain run of fixtures, don't they? Like, between 1 and 5, you know, what sort of points you want to be getting.
Yeah,
who you
want
to be picking. Rafa Benitez is the master at doing
it.
Highlight games and go, I want points in that.
Yeah. It doesn't work out. Like, particularly as you get to the end of the season.
I quite like how Bournemouth are because it makes it really interesting to watch. I wouldn't mind being a fan of that.
I
love him.
Yeah. I saw Ryan Fraser play against City. He was great. He was electric.
Yeah.
They're still.
He's had a few good games and got nothing from him, and he's been unlucky.
For me, with Bournemouth, though, I know Eddie Howe's been there for a number of years and everything like that, but I still don't think they have an out and out philosophy. In the way they play, I think they're a harder team to read in the way they play.
I see what you mean. They're almost like
because they can play a lot of different ways playing style. But I just think personally with Bournemouth, that they find it a struggle to play against a physical team or to play against a team who are going to dominate them tactically. You know, I think they, of all the teams in the Premier League, I find them harder to read. Our philosophy.
I figured out another factor, because Bournemouth are that team where the types of player go to, like young English like players. Many of them have an injury record, like Callum Wilson.
Yeah.
Like Josh King got a bit of that. Like they've got through the ranks, like players who have tried and tested
at the back as well, but, like Francis and Daniels.
Stanislas could potentially be of like a very high quality player. They've taken gambles on those young players in order for them to get to play.
Yeah. It's almost like a Moneyball-esque.
It totally is. Well, it's worth the Matt risk. Ritchie, sometimes, like when was Callum Wilson, if he was fully fit, what would he get? You're looking at like a really top quality striker there, like
and British, which is again the fact that they've bought a lot of British players, the premium on them. So if one of them kicks off, sets fire like Callum Wilson, he's worth,
I think,
double what he would be.
I think
he's worth double what they would be if he was Spanish, because they need.
I really believe that in given 2 years' time, I think the Brooks could be could be on the way to one of the least top, you know, top five, top six.
Yeah, between Brooks and Madison, they're my favourite midfielders in the game.
And naturally creative, really creative.
Yeah, I think they really struggle against injuries like throughout. So it's high risk, high reward. If they get them playing and everything's good, if not, then areas of that pitch, they struggle.
So you see what they can do against the big sides. They've done that. They've proved that. Not just this season, previous seasons. Liverpool this time around, away from home.
Can they pick anything up?
Can they pick? Is it Liverpool side that's stuttering a little bit? You know,
I think there's just media build up in order for that. You know what, they've got a sustainable squad. It's the first time you actually saw him squeaky bum time now. Like Jurgen Klopp with a few things not going in his way.
First time all season, yeah, definitely. Yeah. But they pick up that win, they get over it, dust themselves down.
Yeah, who else
start looking to do it? But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Imagine if you're Bournemouth and you go for and they do win and you look back and you go, right, we beat Chelsea, we lost to Cardiff City. We beat Liverpool. Yeah. You're like, what? What do you want to know? Can I throw out a Liverpool fact?
No.
Go on.
I'm going to anyway. It's a fact attack. Naby Keita has made more Premier League appearances without losing a game than any other player in the competition's history.
Wow.
Okay.
18 games, 14 wins, 4 draws. So no one has... He's set up Premier League records.
Looking for this because you've always backed Naby Keita.
Yeah.
When
Liverpool signed Naby Keita.
He was copping a bit of grief from Carragher after the West Ham game, wasn't he?
Carragher doesn't
rate him in Liverpool, shall
he? Carragher, I don't rate Carragher.
So go on. Predictions.
Guy on a motorway somewhere.
Is Liverpool going to get back on track?
Steady on. Yeah, of course they will.
Yeah?
It'll be a 3-horse race till the finish.
Yeah, I think they will. I think it'll be... Tight,
but just,
you know,
yeah.
So, full house. Last words are tight,
but
sum it up.
Tight, but great. Okay, right, Cardiff City, these are the things that I've learned. Cardiff City, I went to see Cardiff City on the weekend against Bournemouth. Here's the things that I noticed. It was a huge result, it was a lovely result. Bobby Reid, it was a questionable penalty, but let's put that to one side for a sec.
That's on this side.
Okay. The togetherness shown by Cardiff City in the face of the Salah tragedy, absolutely unreal. I never saw anything negative towards that crowd, that Cardiff City crowd. That was the best crowd I've ever seen. Somber environment, everyone together. You could hear a pin drop. Mm. It just showed the absolute togetherness of there. That created an immense atmosphere, and it really kicked on. Like everyone was up for it. Like they were had the training tops on. It was great. Bobby stepped up, grabbed the ball, and just took it, and just slammed it straight down the middle. Went straight over, showed support, showed togetherness again. When he just held up the Salah shirt, I thought it was an ever touch and really G'd everyone up. The other thing is the staunch defending, like Sol Bamba, obviously like fans' favourite. Shout out Sol Bamba.
Shout out.
So, but again, I think it should be a little shout out, just a smaller one.
Shout out.
To Hercule Mangu, who played in his actual position. Like there was one point which was really comedy though. Like he was just stood over the ball of a free kick, just hit Patterson, go into that in a minute. hit it up there, and it was as silent as a 1 minute silence. Right?
You knew what you were going to get.
You made this one. It just went straight out for touch. You heard people go.
You knew where he was going.
He's managing touch. Got a good touch there. But apart from that, he had a really wicked game. But everyone, that's the insight to a footballer. You could have the best game, but if you just spanner a free kick or a pass, that's all I remember. Could hear tumbleweed at that point. But I just want to give you a shout out because that's staunch defending. That's exactly what they're good at. The other thing I really like Gunnarsson. I'm a big fan of Gunnarsson's Icelandic beastiness in midfield, even though he's pretty lumber and cumbersome in the middle of the park.
Icelandic beastiness.
Yeah, but the main thing about Gunnarsson, he appreciates playing, and like he just he loves it. After being like a side bit player, if you're playing, you weren't playing, you'd get really like you wouldn't know your purpose, would you? But with Gunnarsson playing, I thought that was a great thing. Yeah. Niasse was not a pain. He was great up front. He was great. He gives them extra clout. He made passes happen. He made triangles. Yeah. He made space happen until about 75th when he got a little bit tired.
Yeah, he just ran around there.
But it just provides a new outlay. But it becomes like the whole problem with City have been they're lacking up front. But this really tied everything together. But then Zahore, I just want to talk a little bit about body language.
Okay.
Body language in Ken Zahore, right? So imagine you're Ken Zahore.
This is you.
I'm Ken.
Yeah.
Not yet, you're Ken.
Not Ken.
Yeah. You weren't performing at the beginning of the season. It was like, I need goals. And you're like, okay, got Niasse on. You've also got Bakuna, who's just like chewing his gum, just casually. Yeah, you got me. Ken Zahore. He was running up and down, really wanting, really reading the game to come on. I think there's a huge, huge factor, like, is it gives him some sort of fight
to go for. Give a shout out to Zahore, considering he's your neighbour.
I think so.
But I do actually like Zahore. Yeah. I think he's, like, and I think they should be playing him a bit more. And I thought at the beginning of the season...
He wasn't downtrodden.
Can I throw one thing in there?
No.
If you're a big number 10 forward, you should be better in the air.
Which brings me on to, can I get a shout-out?
That left foot, though.
Shout-out!
This is the best. This is my man of the match of the
I was waiting to see who you were going to pick then. Shout-out.
Shout-out. Good. My man, Callum Patterson.
Yeah. P-Dog.
Man does not lose anything in the air.
Yep.
I saw him, like, aerial attacks, he'd probably have a 19, maybe a 20 on Football Manager. He's incredible.
I've never seen anyone as powerful in the air as the GOAT. That's what I'm saying. Like Patterson, the GOAT,
Patterson and Sean Goater. What a
lethal combination.
I think there is a stat out there which indicates how much he actually wins in the air, because attacking or defence, he gives his all.
Genuinely, because I know you haven't played it, but FIFA 19, Callum Patterson, if you play Cardiff and you play long, you change tactics to long ball and you put him up front, it works. Telling you, it works. It's not pretty, but you win games. You win games. Callum Patterson doesn't lose a ball on FIFA 19. You hit it up to him. He's like, I got it. It's fine. Don't worry. That's it. You can lose anything. It's brilliant.
Okay, which leads into the last point. Mitch, I stole your corner last week because you weren't here.
Yeah.
Do you know what he did with it?
He did.
He shoofed it up. Like an aerosol can on a bonfire.
So I created like a football philosophy corner in the meantime, and now we're just gonna celebrate the morality of man right now. And hear me out. No, hear me out.
Listen, Mitch.
Last week I spoke about Albert Camus, who is like an existentialist.
Yeah.
Who was a football player.
He was a goalkeeper.
Of course, he was a goalkeeper.
And when he was asked, "What do you prefer? The theatre or football," he said, "football every time." It's like the togetherness, like everyone serving like a common purpose together. And he said, that's it for me.
Yeah.
So what I want to allude to right now is the morality of man, what every single Cardiff City player must have felt, like including Neil Warnock with tears in his eyes at the end of the game.
Yeah.
The impact of this like on everyone's way of thinking, not just football, it goes far deeper than that. It gives everyone like a purpose and something to fight for, especially in the Cardiff City ranks. And that could be the golden goose, which is going to save them from relegation.
Yeah,
because of the impact, not only put City on the map in really unfortunate circumstances, it really highlighted the fact that how we all dangle by a thread.
Yeah,
and how moral we are. Think of the impact of every single one of those players.
It can galvanize them. It could galvanize them.
Absolutely. But so everyone in that crowd we saw, like everyone was together and everyone was fighting for this thing. So if they start off relegation, that is a crazy like twist of impact,
definitely.
And that's how far a man's life, given the circumstances, can actually go.
Can we I agree with you. I agree with all your points.
Yeah. Solid. No, fine.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm listening. One thing I will say, though, that with the whole transfers fee, because I don't know, like, basically, Nantes have given Cardiff City 7 days to pay the first instalment, so I just don't like but Cardiff are holding off because they want to obviously figure out what happens with the rest of the investigation.
Insurance settlements and things
but I just hope there's no bad blood there, and obviously given the set of fans and the respect for each other, I don't think that'll be an issue, but I just hope that there's nothing financially
it'll be interesting to see how
it
goes.
To be like that, you know,
could you even come up with a scenario like that when you would be thinking what is the best thing to do in that
as I guess first sentence that comes into your head, summarise this section for us.
Oh, chicken chow mein, City's insane.
So, yeah, Mitch is...
it's a little bit awkward this week.
It's just a little bit.
It's a lot of tension.
Mitch is, as you can tell, if you've been following our social media, Mitch wasn't here last week because he booked himself an all-inclusive holiday.
Yeah. We didn't know Mitch would be here.
To Jamaica, and he recorded his Christmas single.
Yeah, Jingle Balls.
So we got Chich instead of Mitch, and then Mitch.
So we brought Chich in because Chich is close to Mitch, and now Mitch is back. So
and I am practically Jamaican.
He is practically Jamaican as well. So
my holiday's over now, though. So
right. So well, this got, is all right, Mitch. So right back to this is Mitch's corner.
Right, so full round of championship action this weekend. Three fixtures, I think, to watch out for.
Okay.
Aston Villa and Sheffield United on the Friday.
Good one.
Yeah, so Sheffield United have got a pretty potent strike force at the moment. Billy Sharp and David McGoldrick.
Sharp is just a goal scorer.
Two former Forest players who had in different sort of times. Well, Sharp did slightly better than McGoldrick, but both in great scoring form. Mm. Villa have picked up quite a few draws lately. Be interested to see if they can get... They were threatening to push into that playoff in the playoff zone in the last month or so, but they've kind of tailed off a little bit lately. Sheffield United, Chris Wilder continues to say that they are rank outsiders for that automatic promotion spot, but they continue, I think, to play really attractive football, free scoring, and they continue relatively consistent. He's done a great job there. So that'll be an interesting one on Friday at Villa Park. Always will be good under the lights there. You and your Birmingham, leave it out.
He's going to say monk again.
Then on Saturday, I think the pick of the fixtures is Hull against Derby. Hull are on an amazing run of form. Nigel Atkins has done an amazing job there.
Unbelievable.
They are really
pushing them from bottom three, weren't they? Yeah,
exactly. And they are on a hell of a run, and it's not threatening to stop at all.
Campbell will always score goals.
And they had a great win on the weekend against Stoke. Derby drew the last fixture. Again, another side. Both two teams are looking to get into the playoffs. But if Hull get in the playoffs, absolute massive overachievement there. So I think that's one to watch out for on Saturday. And Sunday, there is only one fixture, I think, that you can... Stop all this distraction. This is a championship. We've got to take it seriously. It's best league in the world.
I love the league.
Sunday, good. See, this man who knows stuff. Sunday, it is a big derby. Norwich and Ipswich.
Don't mention Derby.
He's too big.
Norwich, I've already mentioned Ipswich, Charlton, Norwich, two sides that need the points for different reasons. Norwich are an amazing 3-1 win at Leeds. Pookie's scoring the goals for them. He's done a hell of a season. Ipswich, a big loss at home with Steve Bruce's first game.
I know,
but they continue to do it.
Do you
guys think
of you a shout-out?
Is there a shout-out for Derby?
I did not say a shout-out this week. I'm not saying a shout-out. No one deserves a shout-out this week. I'm just saying, watch out. Two sides that need the win. Paul Lambert, former Norwich manager, going back there. They need the points for different reasons, but I don't think they're going to get them. That's the championship corner this week. There you go.
He's far too big for his boots, though. He's shouting at us. So this is a section we like to call Reader's Wives.
What is Reader's Wives?
Reader's Wives is not our readers, and we don't know their wives. We don't know any of their wives. It's none of where we... No, none of them. We ask our Twitter followers at the FIFA Ramble and Instagram at FIFA Ramble and Facebook the FIFA Ramble. We ask all of our listeners who like us on there to give us some answers to a question of the week. This week's question that we posed to our listeners was, with Klopp bemoaning referee decisions, the Aguero handball goal, the recent offside Millwall goal against Everton, plus more. Surely VAR being introduced to the Premier League cannot come quick enough. Do you agree? Has your opinion on VAR changed at all? That all right. was our question of the week.
So what do we get?
Right, we had Chris C. Etchingham, host of award-winning Man on the Post podcast, friend of the show. He says, always been wanting this. It'll have some teething issues, but long-term, it's a good idea.
Yep.
I agree. Nathan then came in with the opposing view. Man United fan.
Yeah.
Polar. I've always been anti-VAR, as I love the arguments that right or wrong decisions could cause between friends and fans. I understand the need for it and fully appreciate the arguments for introducing it. It needs to be introduced fully and integrated properly. I'm not sure why rugby TMO system isn't transferable instead of VAR. And then he also says, also consider giving the captain manager three appeals to use like in cricket.
They've looked at that as an option, though, haven't they? They've given a three strike thing. I mean, it's even like in American football and stuff like that. I think giving the coaches that right to you know, even the captain or whatever, to make those calls, I think it's just, you know, then you can have those reviews. Okay.
Go on. What else? Can I get a shout out, please?
Shout out
the Gormley-saurus, the official mascot of the FIFA Ramble.
Yeah.
Darren came in. Keep it simple and clear to all. Whatever is introduced, it has to be done properly.
Well said, Gormley-saurus.
Yeah,
touche.
Yeah.
Okay. There's never anything funny from him. It's always to very
he's
to
always
the point.
Straight on.
Don't knock him. Let him.
He's great though.
Like, this thing on racism was great. Like, yeah. You're not going to stop it.
No. Right. Yeah. Raj.
Yeah.
Then friend of the Ramble, came in and said they need to make sure the procedure is sorted. Sounds like Italy have introduced it without much thought, and there have been a few questionable decisions. The way they used it during the World Cup was almost perfect. And this is my point that I've been making for ages. Someone somewhere decided this season VAR is good enough to be used at the World Cup final.
We'll try it,
but nowhere else. Tell me,
it's not good enough
for the Premier League or any other leagues. You know, they've set a standard, haven't they?
Yeah,
if it's played in the World Cup, it should be across board, isn't it?
Yeah,
and that's the craziest thing about it.
The Football League and the FA decided that it's good enough for the World Cup final, but it's not good enough for Millwall versus Everton.
It's
ridiculous.
Not all, but it's only going to be for the elite, though, isn't it? It's all, or maybe Championships. There's only certain grounds that can obviously have that.
Well, funny you should say
this. And
these
type of things in place. Hang on. The angles and VAR properly, to be used properly. Otherwise, it's not a fair playing field, is
it? Hold that thought.
So is that really football?
That was the issue in the Millwall match.
Hold that thought. I mentioned the Millwall game.
Yeah.
And Jack at Maverick2_ on Twitter, friend of the show as well. I have no problem with it in principle. When some games in a cup, for example, are using VAR and some aren't, that's not right. It's got to be the same rule for everyone.
Exactly.
Then, first time
consistency
contactor of the show.
Welcome.
Gary_Lever. He used to write for me on a website around called Tattoo Football.
Yeah.
So he's a good, solid guy. And he then responded to Jack and said, why though? If you compare to Rugby League, who've been using it for years, it's accepted that TV screens are only available at certain grounds. I'd be keen to know the cost of having VAR at a game to the club. Would Mansfield, for example, want VAR if it cost them £50,000 a game?
I don't think it should come down to the club who should put it in place. I think it should be...
I think the league should subsidise it.
The league should pay or at least a certain percentage.
Yeah, but you would...
But an overall high percentage just to make sure it's a level playing ground field.
Or you say if it's not going to be available to the whole of... You know, it could be just the league. So the Premier League could have it, the Championship could have it.
League football.
Or as long as it's the same in that competition. So the FA Cup, you've got a situation where it's not all the same for some sides who are live on TV, as long as it's the same. If it's all, everyone in the Champions got it, or no one in the Champions got it.
However, you can say, if it's in the FA Cup, for example, say if a team who are a non-league team were to get drawn up against, and they were playing at home against a league team, how would you make the call then on the VAR? Because they haven't got, you know...
I think it'll come to a streamlined case, though, when that can be set up specifically wherever with certain regulations.
I think you should.
Just teething problems at this stage. If we were going to have driverless cars and robots can do everything, surely that can be a thing that's sorted out, especially with the money that is in football at that level.
I agree, because I think Rugby League is a little bit further ahead than even Rugby Union, the way that they use it, and they've progressed that. progress the way they used it.
It doesn't take very long for technology to go further. So by the time it is next season, there'll be measures in place which make it a level playing field, and that's the reason why I love you.
Right, can we round it up with this?
Round it up, go on.
Shout out your faith.
Shout out.
Captain Gareth got involved.
Yeah.
He said not at all, but that bonkers decision in the Nice game shows that it still relies on humans. Also, Leal, heart eyes emoji. Yeah,
but he's right. But it touched on a point I said before. It's not the technology that's wrong. It might, you know, when people say, VAR isn't working. Well, VAR is working, but the application of it and people's judgment of it might be wrong.
Yeah,
but
it's that sort of VAR is a technology. It's not. It's like, just rewinding.
But
there
was also calls in the World Cup that one. They were even after looking and reviewing on VAR, they're going to take the time and going, well, okay, there's how many people are going to make the decision? Is it just going to be the one person, or you're going to have a group of three people, and then the majority rules? Or how are you going to base it on that?
That was a great World Cup, wasn't it? We had a great time, didn't we, in Russia?
Right.
That's
it. Round up.
Some of that. CCTV can't lie.
So Chris Sutton recently said that Virgil van Dijk was the best ever Dutch footballer.
I will take that as gospel. I haven't even heard it yet.
Yeah.
I agree with Chris
Sutton. That's what Chris Sutton said. And this got us to thinking of other things and comparing them to Virgil van Dijk. So we've compared all the other Dutch footballers. Apparently Virgil van Dijk is the best. Now let's compare him to the rest.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a new feature for the show. I'm going to start this week, kick things off with, is Virgil van Dijk better than Archbishop Desmond Tutu?
Well, I think the Archbishop's got a tougher role, though, isn't he?
Nowhere near. You can't
love Desmond Tutu.
I don't know. I mean, you've got to look at their different roles. I think the Archbishop's got a lot on his own shoulders.
If we're talking bishops, Bishop Mazarewa.
Tutu's got. He's got. I mean, listen. He hasn't got the summer off.
Who'd win in a fight?
He hasn't got the summer off.
Tutu have Van Dijk.
Tutu over Mazarewa.
About whether it's, you'd have him in a fight.
It depends. And if he gets cut, as Alex said, you cannot plug a dyke.
See what happens.
Try, Mitch.
I think the physical DVD and emotional responsibilities that Tutu's got on his shoulders. I'm going with Tutu.
You're going with Desmond Tutu. Archbishop Desmond Tutu is better than Virgil van Dijk. Skin?
Even though Tutu has got more aggression in his game, I'm going to have to side with Virgil.
Virgil van Dijk? You got the deciding vote.
I'm going to go for a bit of Desmond Tutu, innit?
Yes! So that is official. Chris Sutton, I hope you're listening because you'd be mugged off, yeah? Archbishop Desmond Tutu is better than Virgil van Dijk.
Guys, this week I'm doing the outro.
Outro it.
That's it.
Outro it, Mitch.
72, thanks for listening. We've had a great time, haven't we? Don't forget to check us out on all the good socials and some not good ones. You know, check us out at the FIFA Ramble. And also don't forget to go down to Wason's Penarth.
Wason's, if you need all your hardware,
if you want to DIY
seeds.
They do all of that.
Potted plants.
Wason's
Penarth.
We're done for this week. Cheers. Thanks to our guest, Chich.
Thank you, mate.
Been amazing.
Nice.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Ta-da.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.